Okay, kids, they're leaving. Okay, we got a few today. Kids ages 4 through 11 meet downstairs for our kids' church. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 3. Ed, you're reading, right? Yes.
Okay, I'm reading Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 16 from the NIV translation. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man, crippled from birth, was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Do you not stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see."
Thank you, Ed. Begin with a very important question for us as a congregation, as a church, that I would ask anywhere if I was preaching this at a church. Do you want to be a church that has a God-pleasing impact on our community and world? Of course, the key phrase there is God-pleasing impact. Do you want to be a church that has a God-pleasing impact on our community and our world? The early church of the book of Acts did. From chapter 1 through chapter 28, and by the way, Acts ends with chapter 28, had a very powerful impact on Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Technically, actually, we today, from the time of the book of Acts, we are living Acts chapter 29. And as I've said on a few occasions, that if I was going to change our name, Acts 29 would be a good one for me. If you note what happened in this early time of the church. In chapter 4, 5,000 men on one day came to faith in Jesus Christ. Have any of you ever seen that? Wow, me either. Acts chapter 3, a lame man was healed. That's what we just heard. Chapter 4, verse 3, Peter and John were put in jail. Let's see. How many of you, I'm not asking how many of you have been in jail. We might find out some secrets, huh? But how many of you have been put in jail simply because of your faith in Jesus Christ? Okay. Today there are thousands all over the world being put in prison for their faith in Jesus. Chapter 3, verse 10, there was great wonder and amazement in our community. And I could go through the book of Acts and give these examples, but I'm not going to do that. But on many occasions, they were put in prison for their faith. They seemed to be so radical and revolutionary. But they saw many conversions, many people coming to faith in Jesus Christ, where they became followers of Jesus, in other words, his disciples. Now here's a statement that I want to make very pointed. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, in Scripture to indicate that the church ceases to have that kind of powerful impact. You can't read chapter 28 and the Holy Spirit goes, well, it's done. You can't go to Corinthians or Romans or anywhere and say, well, it's all over, it's done. That was just for those guys. When the last apostle died, there's no more powerful impact on the world. You can't find that. But the question becomes then, why not today? Why not in Hamilton, New Jersey? Why not in this greater Trenton area? I say it is very, very possible. But the question is how? What ingredients or elements, for a lack of a better word, must be here in our church in order to have that same kind of God-pleasing impact on our community for Jesus? Now, let me clarify very quickly before we really get into this, that success is not necessarily measured in numbers, counting noses and nickels or dollars. That does not determine success. You can get a lot of people to come to a circus and they'll pay. You can get a lot of people to come to a pony and dog show. This afternoon, well, it started this week. The NFL season started. And I don't know, are the Steelers playing today, Tim?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Oh, Monday night. Wow. But today, NFL Sunday starts. And I don't know how many are going to be in Giant Stadium or in Dallas, wherever they're playing.
New York.
They're playing in New York. Thanks, Bradley. What do those stadiums hold? 50, 60,000? What's the average ticket go for? $300 average? $200? Okay, I don't know. You've got to pack these stadiums out. People are going to pay big bucks to go see grown men throw this pigskin around. And I'm not speaking against football. Now, all of you know I am not a Yankee fan at all. It's a 1960. The Pittsburgh Pirates defeated the mighty Yankees. If you don't know that story, read up on it. But just a few weeks ago, a very famous Yankee retired. I'm not too fond of his lifestyle. He certainly was a good player. Probably will make the Hall of Fame. But I think from what I read, people paid up to $1,000+ to see his last game. You didn't do that, did you, Jerry? Whew. Oh, good. I know Jerry's a Yankee fan. But can you imagine paying over $1,000 to see a guy's last baseball game? Here's my point. Success is not determined by nickels and noses. You can pack out a place and people will pay big bucks to go to it, but it may have nothing to do with God. And I'm not against circuses and dog and pony shows and baseball or football. I'm not against that. I like sports. I do like the Steelers. But what are the basic ingredients that if we want God to show up and that we would have a mighty impact in our community and our world for Jesus? Well, Acts chapter 3 gives us some basic ingredients and basic elements. Now, for you to help us remember them, I'm going to alliterate the letter M. And there are five that I want to share with you from this chapter that I will think will serve as a fantastic model for us. Five basic ingredients or elements for impacting our world for Jesus Christ. And I trust that we will really focus on them and then apply them in our lives. If you want Edinburgh Road Chapel to have a mighty impact for Jesus on our world, and you say yes, get ready for the wildest ride you ever have. Here's the first one, the letter M, ministers. Ministers. Now erase any concept you have of me, minister, standing here. Ministers are men and women who are ready and willing to serve the Lord with their gifts of the Holy Spirit and to commit their time and energy to God's kingdom. Men and women who are ready and willing to serve the Lord with their gifts of the Holy Spirit and to commit their time and energy to God's kingdom. Look what happened to Peter and John in Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Starts, Peter and John, two guys. They were on their way to pray. And they have this terrible interruption. I'm being facetious here. That interruption with that lame man was a divine appointment. And I have learned over the years that sitting in my office and somebody, Diane, gets me on the phone and says, so-and-so is out here to see you. There was a time where I would go, oh, no. I still may do that on occasion, but not for any of you. But I have learned that those are always divine appointments. Now, Peter and John were on their way to the temple, and they were going to pray. And what better thing can you do than to go to the temple to pray in their day? And here's this lame guy sitting there begging. Becomes a divine appointment. Chapter 4, verse 13, which we did not read, reveals several things about these two guys, Peter and John. Yes, they were two of the original apostles. But verse 13 says this fantastic verse, and I want you to listen to it. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Let that one settle in. We could just end the sermon right there and go home, okay? Some of you might be saying, yeah, let's do that. I'm hungry. But when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Men of courage, ordinary men. Men who had been with Jesus. Men who had been with Jesus. Man, what a testimony, right? I mean, how would you like to be written up in a book and somebody talks about you? Boy, he or she, they were with Jesus. I can't think of anything greater. I tell you, just give me some ordinary men and women, but men and women filled with the Holy Spirit, and they have been with Jesus. Or they know Jesus so well, their whole life is saturated with being with Jesus, and we can have a radical impact on our world for him. But it begins with this M, ministers, servant ministers who are faithful, available, men and women who are faithful and available, who will use their gifts of the Holy Spirit for God's purposes and for the divine appointments that come into their lives. Will you do that? Were you willing to do that? Even if it means because later you discover that Peter and John, where do they end up? They end up in prison. They end up in jail. Second M, money. Okay. Some of you are going, I knew it was coming. He's going to ask for money. Yeah, let's take an offering, okay? No, just kidding. Actually, this M should be no money. No money, okay? Chapter 3, verse 6. Andrew, I love this phrase. Silver and gold I do not have. Now, I will confess that I carry money in my wallet and in my pocket. I can't tell you how much, but my son Tim knows, and I think Connie knows, my wife, and Mike Durning, who's not here today, he knows that if I wreck my motorcycle, what are they going to get? They want my wallet. I hope nobody jumps me on the way out, okay, to grab my wallet. But here's this lame man begging and expecting money. He'd been carried there. He's sit down in the temple, sitting there begging. That's the only way to have income. No Social Security, no nice health benefits, no insurance benefits, nothing. His family or friends would sit him down there. He would beg, hopefully, to get enough to pay for his daily needs. And he sees Peter and John coming in, and he's begging. But Peter and John have no money. Let me repeat that. No money. Listen, did Peter and John allow no money to hinder what God wanted to do to that man? They could have paused and they could have said, well, I see your need, but let's just take an offering first. Or maybe, this is even better, let's have a seminar on fundraising. We could fundraise for this guy. He's got a need. I'm not against fundraisers. Well, yes, I am. I'll be honest. And I'm not against offerings. But they did not let no money hinder what God wanted to do in that divine appointment. Money was no obstacle. That's a very tough thing to get through. Money was no obstacle. Story that I've told it before, and some of you may remember it. The story of Martin Luther, you know, the great reformer, excommunicated from the Roman Catholic Church. But before he was excommunicated, he walked into the office of one of the church superiors who was counting the money for the day. And the superior says to Martin, "See, Martin, no longer does the church need to say, 'Silver and gold have I none.'" And Martin was sharp enough to say, "But sir, it can no longer say, 'In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk.'" See, do not believe Satan's lies that we must have money in order to impact our world and our community for Jesus Christ. God will provide exactly what we need according to our obedience to Him and the need at the given time if we're doing what He wants. He will provide. The lame man. Now picture this. The lame man really thought he needed money. He thought he needed money. It was a felt need in his life. Peter and John knew what he really needed. And what did he really need? He needed Jesus and he needed a miracle. He had a real need. See, there is a big difference between felt needs and real needs. What did the lame man really need? You could say, yeah, just give them $5 and see you again, and I hope I don't see them tomorrow. You know, I'm going to walk some other way, you know, on my way to prayer. Or maybe somebody else will give him something, you know. And sometimes we just want to throw money at something, like, it'll go away. Here, take the money and get out of here. I don't want you in my life anymore. And God's saying, wait a minute. The answer is not in the money. The answer is in, will you do what I want you to do? Touch the man's real need, not his felt need. He needed a miracle. Are we ready to say, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk? Be healed. Be set free. Be delivered from those bondages of addiction. Be delivered from demonic oppression and false teaching. Be set free. Be healed. Third M, method. Or the right methods that touch real needs. Verse 7 of Acts 3 says, the man was healed. The man was healed. Now, do you really believe he was healed, or was this some kind of metaphor? Some kind of allegory? Yeah. Do you really think he was healed? Yes. I believe he was healed. I mean, can you imagine that? Whew. That's why I, half joking, but more, no, maybe 75% serious, say that on a given Sunday morning, if I fall over and I die, wait about an hour before you call 911, okay? Just pray over me. I mean, see if God wants to raise me back. Is it possible? Absolutely. If I die, hey, I'm in heaven. I beat you there. But the man was healed. And the right methods sometimes, yes, involve building bridges to a person finding Jesus. In this case, the man was healed, but it wasn't just about the healing. Now, some of you, I hope you don't get upset with me. I say, praise God that the man was healed. That's wonderful. But you know what? It would have been better him to stay a cripple and find Jesus and go to heaven than be healed and walk away and not have anything to do with Jesus. You think that's hard? I hope not. So the physical healing, the miracle, was simply a bridge that the man would find Jesus. And the book of Acts is filled with those kinds of things, where people need to experience Jesus, not just some miracle thing. And you know, Jesus had to deal with that in the Gospels. In my own personal devotions at home, I'm reading through the Gospels again, and I just read a few days ago about the 5,000 being fed and then the 4,000 being fed. And you know, they followed Jesus. They followed Jesus. Why? They followed Jesus because they wanted more food. They weren't really interested in following Jesus. And Jesus rebukes them and said, hey, you're only following because you want a free meal. And what do people really need today? Yes, we need to build bridges. But ultimately, they need Jesus. Early missionaries, and I can speak for our denomination, the Christian and Missionary Alliance, found out that there is such a thing called Rice Christians, and going into the Orient and Asia and China, and they found many, many people that were hungry and people that needed rice, a very staple of their culture. And they would bring truckloads of rice in. Every day, people would come, take the rice, go home. Sunday, there would be a worship service. Hey, we're Christians. We're from such and such missions. We want you to come to church. Okay. They come, get the rice, go to church. When the rice stopped, many, 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 many ceased following Jesus. And it became known as what we call Rice Christians. as long as the rice was there, they're following Jesus. I remember years ago here at ERC, we had a family that we really tried to reach out to and touch and work in their lives and really help them physically, financially, did things with the kids and so forth until we decided that was time to say, that's enough. Let's see what's going on. And when we stopped, they stopped. They no longer became part of ERC. My point is, we have to touch real needs. And yes, the bridges may be and look like rice. They may look like rice, but ultimately is to bring people to Jesus Christ. The right method must not be, for a lack of a better illustration, air conditioners to Eskimos in January. Go up to the northern Yukon and find Eskimos. Then in January, do they need air conditioners? No. There's real needs. Are we willing to bump shoulders with sinful, needy people and find out how we can build bridges to give them Jesus Christ? The fourth M, message, or the uncompromised truth of the gospel. I know it's after 12. Some of you are looking at your watches, right? I just did. And I don't want you to miss this next point that's so extremely important. It may be the most important one. Verse 6, Acts 3, in the name of Jesus. And that's the subtitle of this sermon this morning, in the name of Jesus. Verse 16, here's Peter and John talking to these people that see the man that was healed. And now they're, whoa, there's something going on here. Maybe these guys are gods and so forth. And Peter gets up and he says, it's in Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him. In the name of Jesus. Chapter 4, they go on and they add, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which they must be saved. Now either you believe that or you don't. There can be no, well, yeah, Jesus is okay, but Buddha, he's okay too, you know. Jesus is okay, but so is Allah, Muhammad. No. The uncompromised gospel. If you listen when Ed read that, the last part of that section, this is mind-boggling to me as a pastor, as a public speaker. Is that he says to them, this is all about Jesus. You know the one that you turned over to Pilate and you had him killed? Can you imagine that? Standing on a street corner in Jerusalem, talking to these people, they see this miracle, and Peter goes, you're the ones that killed Jesus. He wasn't going to compromise the message at all. Salvation is only in and through Jesus Christ. And that's because we're sinners that we need salvation. It only comes by repentance. Chapter 3, verse 19, Peter says, repent and then turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. Repent, turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. I absolutely do not watch Christian TV at all. Okay? But I heard this with my own ears because I had heard rumors a few years ago. And I heard a very popular, quote, TV guy that success is certainly determined, it seems to be, by numbers and noses and dollars and many people that can flock to a given building. That he would never use the word sin or sins because he did not want to offend anybody. You will not hear that here, okay? If I ever stand up here and say I'm never going to talk about sin or sins again, shoot me. Send me to heaven right away, you know. Cannot compromise the gospel. The fifth one, so hold on. Might, or the mighty power of God's Holy Spirit. Verse 8 of chapter 3. Here's this guy, lame, Peter and John, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he starts walking and leaping, jumping and praising God. And through his servant ministers, Peter and John, God's Holy Spirit healed this cripple, and he walked and he praised God. God's might made it happen. Nothing but God's Holy Spirit. And that was a miracle. This was not where you go to one of these faith healers and he prays for you and you're in a wheelchair and he says, rise up and walk, and you got 27,000 people help you stand up and you slump back down in a wheelchair again. This was a real miracle. Can miracles happen today? Yes. They did not cease with the death of the last apostle. But the key is the power of the Holy Spirit. God desires to unleash his mighty power through ordinary people like us. He desires that. God's Holy Spirit indwells us. Those of us that have given our lives to Jesus, we have been born again by the Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit lives in us. And that power, he wants to be released and unleashed if we are willing to be obedient to him and say at the right moment at those divine appointments, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Are you willing to be a channel for his might and for his power, to believe in miracles? You believe that he can demonstrate that today in our community? I do. Will you be a servant filled with the Holy Spirit? What a very dynamic and radical way to live. 5 M's that I want to leave with you. Ministers, or God's willing servants. Money, or really no money, dependence. Methods, or the right methods of giving and touching real needs and not just felt needs. The message, the uncompromised message of the gospel. And then the mighty power of God's Holy Spirit. I challenge you to be a radical Christian, a radical follower of Jesus. Of course, just a few verses later, Peter and John are arrested. They are arrested and put in prison. And of course, if you read through Acts, there are many, many divine appointments in prison. I wonder today that if we, and I can only speak for us in America, even though I have preached in numerous countries around the world, I wonder if maybe we have just become too soft. We want the miracles, but we don't want might follow after that. Lord, yeah, do some mighty things, but I don't want to be persecuted. I don't want to be ridiculed. I don't want to be mocked. I certainly don't want to die for my faith. I challenge us, though, we can impact our world for Jesus. Will you be an Acts 3 or an Acts 29 Christian? Let's stand for prayer. Let's talk quietly and silently to the Lord for a moment. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would speak to us in the quietness of our heart, that we would be men and women like Peter and John, not afraid of interruptions, but to see them as divine appointments, to see your mighty power to bring people to you, Jesus. As we leave this place today, I pray that we will breathe in your presence, your Shekinah glory. The people will say, they've been with Jesus. We'll give you thanks and praise, Lord. Amen.